Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Unlimited Abundance. Today, I have a very special guest here that we've been planning this for a while, and an episode that I think is going to be filled with so much value.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
For you guys, especially if you're aspiring entrepreneurs, already have your own business, or even considering it, I think that this episode is going to be filled with so many gems. Today, I have on here Allison, who is a conscious business strategist and marketing expert. I've been following her for a really long time, and her work has really resonated with me, not only because of how authentic she is, but I feel as though her work is so tangible and applicable in everything that you share. It's like it brings an aha moment, right? It doesn't feel like I'm just aimlessly reading random kind of word soup. Everything that you post, I feel like has always been filled with such intention and clarity. And so I really wanted to have you on. So welcome. Welcome to the episode. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited. Yeah, I know we've been kind of chatting back and forth a little bit in the DM. So I'm really excited to jam out about everything today.
Well, first of all, do you want to tell everyone a little bit just kind of about what you do, what your area of expertise is, and kind of what your focus is? Because I think that what you do is really special.
Yeah, for sure. So just a little context and background about me. I've been in the online space for almost 7 years now, and definitely gone through different iterations of what I've done. I started as a Ayurvedic health coach. I've done lots of like feminine leadership and womb work. And then I took 2 years off, and it's then when I came back, I really realized a lot of my zone of genius is in marketing and conscious business, especially the piece around like weaving conscious marketing into, like you said, like a very tangible way, especially for conscious, spiritual, very feminine essence-based entrepreneurs, as that's very much my essence. And I feel like a lot of my work is like helping those people and helping it really get like refined so they can be able to have sustainable business, be able to market effectively, but done in a really nourishing way for everyone's nervous system, and so that they have businesses that are thriving, but they can also take lots of space from their business, because that's the dream, right? You know, you want to have a sustainable income coming in, but you don't want to be chained to your phone all the time.
100%. And kind of what you spoke about, I feel like what happens is we are so used to like the very much like hustle culture. So then we start getting into feminine work. And I know a lot of my clients are the same way, right? We start getting into more flow and receiving and doing all of that. But then sometimes we swing to that extreme. And then it's really hard to even find what's like, what's, it's almost even doesn't even feel possible. I feel like for a lot of people, it's like, I feel like it's either I push myself or I'm like more resting. Either I can be successful and really push myself, or I can be more, like you're saying, laid back, but not achieve those results. So I guess, what have you found with your clients is like the biggest obstacle when wanting to be in your feminine, but still have that thriving business, right? Because I feel like that even just seems unattainable. And, you know, just the way that we're taught and through our experience, it's like, either I work really hard, or yeah, sure, I work less and I relax more, but then my business might suffer because of it.
Yeah, totally. Can you just give me 1 sec? I'm going to close my window because I'm hearing a bit of background noise and I'm afraid it's...
No worries. Take your time.
There we go. It's a little loud in Colombia, the background noise. So I wanted to... yeah, I love this question because it is... there's such a beautiful desire, right? In... wanting that feminine flow. And I think it's really a part of like what we need as a culture, especially as female entrepreneurs. We run on like a very different hormonal cycle. We have different energetics. Like we're different creatures than I think how business has been done in, you know, the past century and, you know, the past decade, where it's been really rooted in that hustle. And the primary focus is like strategy, structure first, not really allowing any room for the conversation to be energetics. And I know we've, you know, spoken a lot about like, how do you find a balance with it? And, you know, what is the way that we do this in a very tangible way? And I think first off, you know, I think this really tends to happen. And it was definitely my experience is there is this like rite of passage where it's like, I think there's this really deep return to the feminine, in where it's a little bit more flowy. And then what happens is you kind of like start to come back into this like place of union. And for me, that really started off with, okay, I've done a lot of this like deconditioning myself from like, you know, the wounded masculine, like these templates of like, go, 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 hustle, hustle, hustle. I'm really swung really deeply into my feminine energy and it was so nourishing. And then I started to feel a little bit of an imbalance of like, okay, I'm in a lot of flow, but there's not a lot like
happening.
There's not a lot actually happening. And then I really had to come to like, okay, how do I start doing some reconciliation work with my relationship to the masculine? So I can feel really good about it. And it can be like a healthy energy that's in my life. And I think that comes with obviously like energetic work and healing. I did a lot of like reflection on relationship to like actual like men in my life, and had to do like a lot of like relationship clearing because I think so much of, you know, the wound with masculine energy in general can come so deeply from our fathers, our past relationships, if you're like in a heterosexual relationship, or if you're straight. So there's like lots of conditioning there that I had to unpack first before even like starting to implement tangible things of like, oh yeah, I might need some masculine energy in my business. Because otherwise I feel like even if you try to welcome in structures or you welcome in strategy or you have some systems to like hold your feminine energy, you're going to resist. And anytime there's like anything in the realm of masculine energy, I think what often happens, it like triggers like an old wound of like, I don't want to go back to being burnt out, because that's the only association many of us have of like masculine energy, of this experience of beginning to get burnt out, hustle, go, 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 where it's very like extremist, where it's like, okay, that's the only way we related to masculine energy. And then there's the like full swing feminine where it's like, okay, we're only in flow and everything's, you know, like beautiful feminine chaos, but there's like nothing to hold it. So I really had to start doing like, what does it mean to be integrated into both energies? What does it mean to like stop rejecting that energy within myself? So first it was like energetic healing around my relationship to men and the masculine as a whole. And then it was like a perspective shift too around, well, I feel like what if the masculine energy, you know, as a whole in the collective, but even my own, is actually really here to support me so I can have more spaciousness in my life. Mm-hmm. Like what actually was wanting to like really deeply hold me instead of how it used to feel, where I kind of felt like I was holding everything like almost as a picture of like, okay, I'm holding the vision, I'm calling in the clients, I'm doing all the things, I'm working on all the energetic pieces. And then I really started to think like, what would it look like if I had a business that had some rooted structures that actually got to hold me instead of mm-hmm. me constantly this holding, which was kind of interesting. Cause then I was like, am I actually in my feminine? Or am I kind of in this like manufactured feminine? Because in my experience now, as I've done a lot of work around healing my relationship with the masculine, I'm like, the feminine is really devoted and welcomes the masculine energy. Like it really receives it. And now that I kind of started doing that reconciliation work, I feel like it naturally shifted into a lot more union. And then I'll go into some tangible pieces too, because I know that's like very vague. He was like, okay, for my business in terms of like structures and like, what are the kind of daily actions that are going to support me, for my long-term goals? And this wasn't being like, you know, super hard goal setting, but almost like what's, you know, there's room to shift, there's room to flow, there's room to like pivot, but also what are those daily tasks or what are those daily devotions? If you want to also make it language that feels a little bit better than like maybe more
task. Feminine people are like, ah, I just thought that's my word.
So what are the daily devotions that feel important that are going to help you, you know, take action? And, you know, also I think that really helped with my perspective in like just welcoming in that union was also seeing it from the perspective of like there, you can take action and still be in a feminine state. It's not necessarily, you know, I was having a conversation with a client this week about like the most feminine thing, which is birth. And there's like times to push, right? Like the feminine has like a push to her, but it's done in such a soft way. So I think there's a couple things there, right? Like healing your relationship to the masculine as a whole, doing some like perception work of learning, like, what does it mean to have systems and structures? And then maybe some tangible things like taking an audit of what feels chaotic, what feels disorganized in your business, what feels like it's overwhelming. Because oftentimes when I've felt overwhelmed, it sometimes hasn't always been an energetic issue. Sometimes I'm like, oh, you know, for example, if like, I don't know, like doing little admin tasks feel overwhelming to you, is there a way that that can be automated? Like, is there a system that could clear that out so you have the spaciousness there and there's a system to hold that? So I think first is like doing that audit of like, what feels overwhelming, what's draining, what could be implemented on a system or structure level to maybe give you a deeper mm-hmm. sense of ease. So yeah, I think I'll pause there because I know I spoke to a lot of things.
No, yeah. And I think a really thing that popped in my head as you were speaking was kind of, I know for me, I have this feeling, right? Like as a good example of like feminine masculine, it's like, if you know you have things to do, you can't surrender into your feminine. So like by actually honoring the masculine, right? And putting things into place, like, oh, like my space is messy. I have to do these things. I need to answer these texts. Like, at least for me, I know like I can't fully like drop in if I know in the background there's things I have to do, because it feels like I haven't created this space. It's like, no, girl, you have like all these tasks that like are really important, and like actually doing those tasks then lets me relax more. Like, ironically, by respecting the structures in my life and the commitments that I have, it like kind of gives you a really great sense of the other thing, like devotion. Like, even if I'm tired and I know I need to reply to something or send something over that I promise, instead of being like, oh, I'm in flow, it's like, well, no, I made a promise to someone and like I made a commitment, and like, you know what I mean? And by actually honoring that, I feel like, ironically, it actually lets you sink into your feminine. So sometimes I think that there's like resistance, like you were saying, to tasks or to things, but sometimes it's like doing those very things would actually kind of give you that ease, because you would feel like, oh, I took care of what I had to, you know, like what I had to take care of. And it lets you like actually drop into each energy instead of kind of feeling this, I remember I feel like this kind of like anxious energy between both, like kind of trying to be in my feminine, trying to rest, but also knowing I have things to do. And I feel like that is like even more chaotic than honoring each one. And then going off of what you said about being in your feminine, I totally agree. Like, I think people just think of feminine as like you're just sitting eating grapes, and it's like, no, like I have a client who's an esthetician, for example, and she's a very feminine person, and she's taking action all day. She's driving to work, seeing clients, doing the thing, but she's still remaining, like you're saying, in a receptive energy. So it's like she took a lot of action, but it's more about the energy from which that action was taken. I feel like that makes a difference. And I think if we only associate feminine as not doing anything, then like you're saying, I visualize it as like water spilling out. Like, you start to not honor your commitments. You feel all over the place. And that also from a business standpoint, right? If you're wanting to be someone who's offering support to someone else, that's pretty triggering to someone else to have someone like that they can't rely on as well, you know?
Yeah, I love that you spoke to that, because I think that is one of the pieces where, you know, one of the questions that sometimes I had to start asking myself is like, am I actually in flow, or am I like avoiding something?
That's a really good question.
Yeah, it was such like a like big awakening for me, because my pattern like a few years ago was I was just like, I'm just in flow. But really it was like me avoiding a lot of things and commitments that I had to do because it was overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And then like it was like almost like a spiral, or like of me avoiding tasks and and me feeling more overwhelmed, thinking it was like masculine energy, but really it was like the feminine chaos taking over and, you know, spilling out. You know, I'm sure you've heard this, you know, like metaphor before, and I think it always hits home for me, where it's like the feminine is like the river and like the masculine is the riverbanks. And if you didn't have riverbanks, everything would just be spilling constantly, like it would be like formless, like, you know, energy all over the place, which is so beautiful. But then if it doesn't have any sort of guidance or like, you know, that holding, one, even if you are in this like beautiful, yummy, receptive feminine energy, it's going to feel like a little chaotic. It's almost like that energy of like, you like in partnership, you know, I'm going to speak to like the partnership that, you know, I've been in with men, but when you're like feeling, you know, overwhelmed, or you've like had a hard day, there's like nothing better in my opinion than like when your man's like, I got you. Like, we, like, it just is immediately like, oh, I can breathe. Like I can surrender into this, you know, space now, rather than when it's like, ah, everything's
crazy. Like, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's very chaotic and it's beautiful. But then we're also missing this piece of like, well, what does it mean to do, like, what does it mean to have that union within yourself? And I find that, and then in business, like you mentioned, it, you know, in business, if we're constantly, I don't know, like constantly rescheduling or constantly kind of like forgetting to send things or like uploading things in different things, it's like, there's a time to honor that space, obviously, when things, you know, need flow or like need flexibility. And then there's also a real beauty in like bringing it into like, I think you used the word like an integrity or like really honoring your commitments.
Mm-hmm. This kind of leads me to, I guess, another question. So if someone, when we just talk a little more tangibly now, if someone was in a business right now, let's say they create a business, I see this a lot with when clients, they come to me, their business is very much like you're saying, very feminine flow, but a little bit chaotic, because it's essentially like, and I know this was really the case for me in like the early days when I first pivoted my business. It was very like, okay, I have an idea, I launch, I have an idea, I launch. And I started thinking, this is like, I know very future forward, but from like a feminine perspective, I was like, well, what about when I'm like a mom? Like, I'm not going to have the energy to always have a new idea and launch it. And I'm like, is this really, you know, sustainable in the sense of just like always like running towards the next thing? It's beautiful, you know, to receive an idea and to execute it. I think it's like such like a pleasure for any creative type. But then it's like, what needs to be implemented that might be more gradual? I think sometimes we love in our society like more instant gratification, you know, but it's like, what could I start doing now that could be gradually supportive? And then I find a lot of clients that come to me kind of in a similar position, being like, it's like I'm like always like on the brink of having to create the next thing. And that's all, and that's like a lot of pressure. And like, again, like if in case there's any event where maybe you're traveling, you need to take a break, right? Where it's like you're saying, it's like you're supporting the business and versus the business kind of supporting you. And so I guess what would be your advice or just general tangible steps if someone's in that space? Like, how do you start? Because I think if your business is structured that way and you're kind of like relying on that, what do you find, you know, how do you begin to make that shift, I guess, from being in that like almost hustle girl boss onto the next, how do you begin even considering to shift your business into something more sustainable? Because I think that even that thought is really overwhelming. It's like, well, where do I even start, right?
Yeah, totally. And this is such like, I think a common thing that I think a lot of people are running into this year from what I've seen is like, they've really lived that like launch to launch thing, like onto the next. And I think what I've really seen a shift in is people are like, but what if I want to take 2 months off? Or what if I want to do this? Or like you said, like what happens when I become a mom? So I think first is, one, for any, just to like, before even action, is really like coming to close and reflecting on like what your business values are. Because that helps shape the model. You know, I talk a lot about this in creating like a sustainable business model or sustainable marketing ecosystem. And first it always is like, well, what are your values? Because that's going to help you determine what are your priorities For your business over the next 3 months, over the next year, over the next 5 months, if you want to go that, you know, that far, or like, yeah, years in advance. Obviously things can switch, but what are your values? Like, for example, a big value of mine this year was traveling, as I'm, you know, doing the digital nomad thing. And I had to shift my model a lot, because I didn't want to live launch to launch and always be in like, okay, we're launching and I'm in a new city and the Wi-Fi is sometimes funny. Like everything had to shift for style and my desires and my core needs to be supported. So first, determining values is really, really important. And also like how that connects to the lifestyle that you want. And that's going to change. Like there's seasons of life where we're like, I don't know, all business and that's what it is. And then there's going to be seasons of life where maybe you just want to like really take space. So first, values. The other thing that I would start looking at it from like a systems perspective is like, what do you, like building out an offering suite that can also live and breathe without you, so that you don't always have to live launch to launch. And there's a few ways to do this, right? Like, for some people, that's like doing really high-end coaching. They only take a few clients at a time. They're very sustained with like 5 clients because the price point is great. For some other people, it's like building out evergreen courses. You know, I think a big thing about like creating something sustainable is also looking at your marketing ecosystem, because I think what happens, you know, especially, you know, I have been the same way as where we're like, okay, we're just going to post on Instagram. But what happens if you, you know, I don't know, or something happens for a month where you need to like spend time with your family, or you're sick, or like if it's reliant on just you, do you have things in place where people can still find you, or your content is still being trickled out, so there's opportunities for people to still get to know you without always having to be on? Because I think a lot of, you know, I guess the way that I like make the difference of like a sustainable business and maybe not is that a sustainable business can kind of more or less run on its own. Like, yes, you're still the center of it and like there's still things going on, but your whole model and the ecosystem and the components that are like surrounding it, should, there's like things in place where you're still have like maybe opportunities for money to come in without you having to always be in launch. So that can look like a few different ways. Like I mentioned, like evergreen courses, or, you know, there's lots of different ways also, like guest teaching or different ways like that. And then the way that I kind of see it with like maybe not a sustainable business is that really is reliant on your energy constantly being on. Mm-hmm. And for really hard, you know, especially like we have like a hormonal cycle. And like, I know for myself, when I'm in my luteal phase,
same. Like, I'm like, no one, please. Like, I don't even for me in my luteal, just being on Instagram itself feels so chaotic. It's like, I feel like anxious. But then when I'm in my like ovulation, I'm like, hello, everyone. Welcome. You know, just like the difference in energy is really wild.
It's so crazy, right? And then, you know, it's hard too when we're like women, or not hard, but it's just a different like approach that's needed, because what then often happens is like, I know with a lot of my clients in terms of content, you know, clients will get really down on themselves. They're like, I didn't really post anything during my luteal phase, and now I'm scared to post again because I feel like I've ghosted them. So then it becomes like a whole thing where they like almost like freeze a little bit. And I'm always for like, you know, take time off of Instagram. Like, I think it's really healthy. And that's coming from someone that's like in marketing and social media management. And then I always also tell people, I'm like, also, and then also, you know, for some of my clients that are making 7 figures and they have like huge businesses, I'm like, well, there's things we can put in place where you can take like 2 weeks off and content is still going out, whether that's like being repurposed, or we have little systems in place where you still feel like things are moving, but you don't have to like, doesn't require you to be like always on with your energy, because that's exhausting.
You know, that leads me to another question. I'd love to hear your opinion, because I've seen both kind of ways work. So a lot of my clients come to me asking like, do you think I should really pre-plan my content, or should I just post when I'm inspired? This question like I get all the time, and I always wanted to have like a very concrete answer, and like the Mars in Virgo Capricorn moon me was like, intention, call to action. And then part of me, I've also seen people who really just honestly post just like authentically random kind of content, but it feels so soul infused that it like works. So I've seen it like go both ways, where someone, it's very like, you can tell it's very planned, like methodical, everything is like about a story, and then it's like the call to act, like you can just see the structure in it. And then I've just seen people who kind of like authentically share and update their lives, kind of, you know, those people who are just kind of like, are so, it's like their personal diary. And also I think that creates such a connection, and that works. So I just love to hear just your opinion on what you've seen on kind of both strategies, because ironically they're like very different, but yet I find that I've seen for clients genuinely both work equally. So I feel like I would love to hear what your experience has been with like watching those two kind of types of content, and what do you think that balance is, or what, yeah, just love to hear your experience.
Yeah, I love that. And I've definitely seen that too, where it's like, I've seen both work, you know, I have friends where they will like not post anything for a while, and then they'll come in and they'll like drop something that's like so soul opening. And then it's like, that works for them. And then I have other people that they're very into batching client like content, and that's the way that they love to do it. And it's funny because in my own experience for me is like, I'm very much a middle ground, where I don't think I've ever like batched like 30 days of content, but I'm someone that has a lot of ideas. And sometimes it's not that I don't have anything to say. It's more like, oh my God, I have so much to say. That feels challenging to be like, okay, now a post. In my experience, and I think I'll say this as a caveat with like the knowing that there's astrology, there's human design, there's like so many individual types. So it's like, I think there is this beauty of like finding your signature process. And sometimes that takes time. And I also am someone that thinks and has seen like when you're consistent, like I've always seen with my clients that are consistent, and consistent means a lot of different things for everyone. Like some consistency means for some people posting every day. Sometimes that means, you know, posting 3 times a week. Also consistency, like maybe like having consistency that's like more in tune with your cycle, where it's like, there's like actually like a content strategy that also works into the phases of your cycle. But the clients that I've seen that are like regular in what they post and are a bit more intentional about it, I've always seen have more of that consistent sales. They become experts at what they do. Not that the other people don't, but I've just seen that there's this like natural momentum that happens.
Trust, right? Like it's like a trust. That's like the word I'm hearing. Like people trust, like they're like, she is showing up or he is showing up with like kind of knowing what they're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's built over time, and you can still have the hits of inspiration. Cause I think what gets people really afraid of like having like prompts or like maybe some content planned out is they're like afraid it's going to take away from their creativity, or like, oh, what if I want to drop in with something that's like not part of the plan? I'm always like, you could change it. Like there's no one saying that you can't change the plan or like make alterations to what's coming through. But I also find it's like feels really supportive when you have an idea of like where you're leading people to. And like you said, with your audience or your community, I think over time people then begin to be like, she's the go-to person for, you know, for example, I have a lot of people that are like, I've been following you for like a year or like 6 months, and like when they're ready to hire a marketing person, because I'm consistent with what I'm saying and posting, I'm like the go-to person that they're thinking of at top of mind. So I think it's both ways. And I know that wasn't like a very like distinctive one or the other. I think like test out your process, but for the people that I find are like more in like just in flow and are like, I don't get as many sales or like have like trouble calling in clients, I always encourage people like, what would it look like for 30 days to just feel into consistency? Like do it as a creative like project or like creative process. And maybe that's posting, like I said, 3 days a week, like finding the consistency that works for you and works with your capacity, works with your cycle, which is what I'm really big on when it comes to content creation systems, is like finding what works for an individual, because that's going to look so different for everyone. Like seasons of life, hormonal cycles, like there's so many different factors, but having that trust with your audience, it really creates that, like, she's got me, right? Like, I know that she's, you know, I've seen people where I like love them as leaders and they've made like posts here and there, and then they kind of like drop off, and I'm like, I almost forget about them a little bit, and then they'll come in with something so beautiful, but they're not top of mind when I, because it almost creates like a little connect where I'm like, well, are you going to show up for me consistently?
Yeah, I think like when we were speaking, I always think of like your community online as like a literal friend. And imagine you had a friend who texted you back once every 2 weeks. Like, you might still love that friend, but that's not the friend who, when you have a really important event, that you need to rely on someone who you're going to trust. That's why, like, I think integrity is so important. I've really seen that. But like, I'm in flow, and it's like, yes, it's so beautiful, but also you have to remember, like, if you were going to hire, people are so ironic, right? I know people post this joke. It's like, you love to be in flow, but then what if someone's like 6 hours late to your thing because they were in flow? It's like, when your flight's delayed, all of a sudden you're mad. It's like, because we need structure in our lives. And I think that understanding that, like, it is a relationship. And so even if you're consistent, like you're saying, you can post whatever you want, but just challenging yourself, like, at the end of the day, just to take it like less seriously, just write something. What's on your mind? What are you passionate about, right? Like, that's just the same thing when you're building a relationship early on, right? Like, when you're first dating someone, how important those stages are for building trust. If they're ignoring you, if they're not, like, if they're not on time, all of those things turn to become red flags. Or the opposite, because they're consistent, it builds such a trust. And what you said, I think, was really important of, like, people might be watching you right now to hire you later, right? It's not always instant. It can be, but I think that also a lot of people really do view it as a relationship, including myself, and they see who's consistent. Even with you, I've been following you for a while, and I was like, she's consistent. It's not like a 1 month she's feeling it, and the next month it's like completely different. It's gone, you know? And I think that that's what really shows, like, A, that you're passionate about what your work is. Like, it's genuinely from the soul. Like, you're not just talking about it for a week and then you're, you know, you're kind of moving on. And that, yeah, like, you're someone who can be trusted to work with. Like, you're going to be someone who shows up. You're going to be someone who, you know, like, prioritizes and delivers what you promise. And yeah, of course, there's live things come in the way and people are understanding, but there's a difference between that and the difference between someone who you're always feeling like, will they show up? Are they there? Where are they? Are they going to reply to me? Like, you know, and I think that's like that line of feminine chaos where it's like, there is a level of integrity that has to be there, right? Just like even a woman, like the birthing or being a mom, right? It's like, you can even if you're just a mom, which is a full-time job in itself, you still have that structure and the integrity of, like, you have to pick your.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Your kids up from school, you know what I mean? Like, they're still just, even in the feminine, like, structure is so important. And so I feel like really just understanding that people are building a relationship with you, and that, like, building trust is so foundational, aside from the great posts, the brand. It's like, people need to trust you at the end of the day, you know, especially when they're investing, like you're saying, in like big ticket items or in coaching. Like, it's a big thing for people, and you want to put your money with someone who you really respect, and I feel like, yeah, you really value them.
Yeah, I love how you spoke to the relationship piece, because, like, I think it's like something that we forget is, like, so, especially with social media, like, you know, it's like we're forgetting there's a social aspect, it's a relational thing. And I love, like, the comparison. I always, like, say, like, I'm like, do you want, like, that, like you said, like, a trusting, loving relationship, or, like, do you kind of want to give off, like, situationship vibes where you're, like, kind of there and not there, and then you're there and then you're not there? It, like, it feels a little off. Like,
and then you're vague, and it's like a little vague cash, and then you're gone, and the people are like, what is going on? Where are you?
Yeah, like, you know, I've been in relationship, or like, not even relationships, they're like those situation things where you're like, I don't actually know what's happening. And it even comes with like messaging too. I find this where I like related it to messaging, where it's like, you know, I don't know, I've been in like, I remember this relationship with this man where it's like, he's saying a lot of words and they sound great, but I don't know what he means.
Yeah, like, what is this? Same,
yeah, what is happening? Whereas, like, how good does it feel when you've, like, been on a date, you know, and I'm starting from, again, the perspective of, like, dating mostly men in my life, where the guy is, like, I'm going to pick you up at 7, wear a beautiful dress, and it's, like, so, like, direct, right? And it's, like, the same, the structures and the messaging, and there's all these little pieces where it's, like, we love it as feminine beings when we're, like, in relationship to men, and they're, like, in their beautiful masculine energy. And then we kind of forget that we're also sometimes holding those pieces in business. Even if we're feminine essence leaders, there's aspects of business where we're like, if you're working, especially with feminine essence beings, how do you hold them the way that you also love to be held? Like, like you said, if you're like all about flow, but then someone else does the flow to you. And like, it all, it's all like, it's very interesting to like, once you start dissecting of like, well, how, like, you know, something that I think is like a good, maybe tangible way to look at that is like, what is the before, during, and aftercare process that you want everyone that maybe interacts with your page to go through? So before, a lot of that's like foreplay with your content. They're getting to know you, you're courting them, you're like, they're learning if you're a right fit, or like, you know, you're starting to get to know each other. Then they sign up for you. How do you want to hold them? Like, what's the process for when you're delivering calls? What's the structure of like the onboarding process? Okay, aftercare, you know, like if there was a break, like what's the aftercare process, you know, maybe of them like signing off with you? Like there's all these little touch points that are just like, they elevate the experience so much more. And that's when you really create like a really great like customer experience or experience for someone to interact with you. They're going to they're going to send your page to their friends. They're going to buy, they're going to like reinvest with you. They're going to like, there's so many little things where it's like, just focusing on those little pieces can do so much for your business.
You said something kind of interesting, like about messaging. So, I mean, this is like a really big, obviously, topic as well. And I think you post a lot about this. And I remember I was literally like laughing out loud reading your story, because I relate to this so much. Of like, some people will say so much and write this paragraph of like just spiritual mishmash. And you're like, wait, I'm like so, so confused. Like, wait, like what? And so then it's kind of like, what is that balance, right? Of like writing something, yeah, beautiful and from the soul, but also where people know what you're saying. Sometimes you read something, you're like, I guess that's kind of nice, but like, why? You know what I mean? So it's like, what's that? And like, I think what you said was so powerful. Like, if you're trying to hold someone who's in their feminine, then you being super feminine actually like removes the polarity. Cause now they're like, this is chaotic. Like, I don't like this. It doesn't feel clear, right? Like when you said the man who's like has clarity, it's like that feeling of clarity. Life is already overwhelming enough, so I feel like when someone comes to us with clarity, like, I will see you this day at this time, it's like, that's all I need. You don't need no more. You're like, it's just like the clarity. So I guess when you think about messaging, what do you see a lot that works / doesn't work / just any like big thoughts upon messaging? I would just love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I love this topic because this is definitely like my expertise, because it's such a big thing, like you said, and it's like what I call it is like, I think there's room obviously for creative expression and like that poetic language. And for anyone that like loves speaking like that, or any of my clients that are like very poetic and like it's very like beautiful, I'm always like, you can still write like that, but give also space for that to just be what it is, and don't have that always part of the sales process. Because I think what people forget is, yes, you're a spiritual entrepreneur. Yes, you're working with like spiritual people, yada, yada, yada. Like, I get it. I'm a very deeply rooted spiritual person. I've been on this path, you know, since I was 11, like deep in ceremony work. My uncle is an ayahuasca shaman. Like, there's so many facets of my life where that's so ingrained in my life. And, you know, I had a teacher that was a Native American chief really remind me that one of the most spiritual things in this life is being a human being. So I always try to remind the spiritual entrepreneurs, like, it's still you're still also talking to humans, where there's a difference of saying, like, unlock the power within you, to like a very clear, like, imagery of like what that might look like. That might look like, you know, like relationship wise, or like what is like more specifically what that's going to look like. Cause mm-hmm. that's going to like, wow, that's my human experience right now. Rather than talking to like, yeah, I want to unlock my power. Like, it can be a little confusing, cause it's like you said, it sounds nice, but it leaves people feeling inspired. And this is what often happens, is there's, you know, I have a lot of my people come to me, they're like, I have a really inspired audience, but no one's buying. And usually
they're loving the post.
They're loving the post. They're like, wow, this is great, but no one's buying. And usually I'm always like, it's usually how things are being communicated, of like, people are like, this sounds nice, but like, how is this going to help me? Because at the end of the day, from a psychology standpoint, and even if there's spiritual entrepreneurs, and yes, people buy from Just Energetics, I've seen it happen. But also it's really important to implement, like, but how are you communicating? Is it clear how your work is going to support someone? Like, you know, for me, I'm not just going to be like, write compelling content. You know, I often, like, I'm going to use a very like potent example of like, instead of having all of these ideas staying in the draft, like it drafts in the note section of your phone, they're going to be posted, right? Like, that's very specific experience yeah. for someone, rather than how to write content. They're like, it's like, oh, that is something that's happening to me on a daily basis. Or for example, like, learn how to love yourself. Maybe a different kind of messaging that would be more potent is, you're feeling like confident and sexy to have like sex with your partner. Like, go into specifics. I mean, you can even probably go even more specific with it, but when it hits people, when it like is penetrating to people, people are like, this is me. And you really want that resonance. So that's what I always think of messaging is, like, how do you bring it so it brings into people's experience, and you can still have the essence of what you do. So there's a few things, is like, right, knowing that one of the most spiritual practices is being a human being, and that people are still human beings. Two, like, look at the language that you're using. Would you talk to your friends like this? That's often a thing, I think, when we're spiritual entrepreneurs, is like, do you actually speak like that? Or sometimes do you just want to sound like a spiritual guru, which can sometimes happen. Cause I sometimes think there's this perception of like what spirituality is. And it's like, you can be the most spiritual person and still not use all of the like language that's often used. So I think those are a few pieces. I know it's like such a huge topic, so I'll like, I think that's like a good place to probably put it there.
Yeah, I think what you said is really, so many things came up. I mean, the first thing towards the end that came up is also relatability. I think when people use too much of the lingo, sometimes me and my friends joke, like it like you're saying, it removes the human connection. Like, it's someone trying to embody that teacher vibe so much that it actually isolates people. They're like, oh, like, I don't know, that they might feel like, oh, maybe I'm not spiritual enough, or like it actually creates more of a distance than a trust, right? And then in terms of like the, like how you're saying with messaging, it also becomes so repetitive. Like, the amount of times I've read Become Your Highest Self, if I had a dollar, you know, it's like people, like, more clarity, right? Because people, when they hear something a lot, it just kind of flows to the back of their mind. And I think that something that you said was really great was like, when you using concrete experiences, I think it also highlights that you've had that experience, which again builds trust. So when you said like, it's been in your draft, but now it's going to become post, that creates resonance, but then it kind of builds a trust, like, she's been there too, and she's moved on from that. That's why, you know, people love personal stories, and sometimes people really highlight their personal stories, and it's I can see really why, right? It's because it's like, oh, that person's been through the exact same thing and moved forward, so there's a trust in that. So it's kind of like really remembering, like, kind of what we spoke about earlier, that you're really speaking to people. You're like, people forget with social media, they kind of feel like it's just going out into the ether sometimes, but it's like, these are real people going through their day reading this. And like you said, would you message your friend like super vaguely? Like, you know, you message your friends, I feel like, with clarity, like, hey, see you at this time. And sometimes I feel like a lesson I've learned and I tell clients too is like, you have to prove your spirituality. People will just see through the way you live your life and through what you share, your level, I guess, of like, I don't know, emotional intelligence. It will come through. Like, you don't need to overuse that lingo and stuff. I think people have fear around writing things a little bit too, I don't say bluntly, but a little bit too directly. They like, you want to add that flavor, but it's like people, especially if you're, you know, on like on podcasts or on lives or on stories like that, those are the spaces where you share your personality so that in your post you don't have to like overcompensate and try to prove something, because I think that that also from an energetic perspective also doesn't feel good. It's like there's a kind of a place I feel like where you show your personality, parts of your humor, like your humanness and kind of, you know, your lifestyle and what you like. And then in your posts, you can just have more clarity in your messaging. You can just have more clarity. So it's like it doesn't all have to be in this one space. Doesn't have to be where you prove yourself, show your personality, and create a call to action. Like, I think it's also remembering that with platforms and different parts of your business, there's different parts to show different pieces of yourself. And like you were saying, having like that poetic piece is beautiful, but maybe that's not the piece where you're gonna now create a call to action. Like, that can just be like a standalone piece that just like adds something else, which I guess kind of leads me to another point about like intentionality, kind of when you're posting, right? When we message our friends or we write, yeah, when we text anyone, when we do most things in our normal non-digital life, we're pretty like intentional. Like when I message a friend, it's like usually ask a question, maybe to meet up. Like it's very much intentional. And so I think that sometimes also reminding ourselves to be intentional in our brand and in what we share, I think is another layer. And again, I just think it's bringing back that human component to social media, where people often feel like you're just putting a message out into the ether and really thinking about like who is receiving this, like what's their day like, imagine how much information they're already receiving, what are they going through, like do they really like, what would really like, yeah, create resonance and actually really support them. Because I feel like I always come back to like, if you're delivering real value, your services will always be in need. Like if you're really clear on the value you deliver, it's like it just speaks for itself, really, right? I think that that's also really part of building a sustainable model. It's like, even like I think marketing is great. It's like a very clear value. It's like you don't even need to really oversell it. It's obvious why you need marketing. And it's like, and if you're good at it, it's like the value is so clear. So I think for a lot of people, it's like highlighting that value is one of the best things that you can do for your business, because the things that we like repetitively go to, we see the value and we don't even question it, right? Whatever we in a personal lives like to invest in, like let's say someone's really into the gym and so they're always paying for a gym or a personal trainer, it's like the value is so clear to them, so it's just like automatic. And so I feel like by highlighting your unique value, it's what's going to, especially now in the spiritual space, because it's beautiful that it's becoming more mainstream, but it is becoming more and more saturated in a way. But then at the same time, everyone's unique. So it's like being like, what's special about me? And not like in a self-critical way, but like, what's my unique value? Maybe it's literally like your energy. Maybe it's your life experience. But you know, like I just think that defining that, I feel like I've noticed is really, really important when setting yourself apart. And especially if you're consuming a lot of social media, then your content can start to sound the same. And then I feel like it's kind of it kind of intermeshes with everything else, and you feel less clarity and your audience feels less clarity. So I guess this kind of leads me to a question. How would you say, would you, like in terms of finding clarity, how would you recommend for someone to begin to find clarity in themselves and what they're offering and in how to show up? I feel like in a very overstimulated world, how do we like begin to really define like who am I? What am I offering? How do I make that clear? Like how do you cancel out the noise and really like make space for you to really, you know, to really create, to really deliver value with clarity, you know, in your life and online?
Yeah, this is such a big question. So I think first is like, this is such an important thing, like you said, because it's so beautiful that so many people are like awakening to their gifts. And also like, how do I create a business that also works with my, you know, purpose? And it's such a beautiful like extension of like the soul to do, you know, work in this way. And like you said, it becomes very like everyone starts sounding the same and no one dandy note, right? And I think it's kind of a rite of passage, especially like if you're in the beginning phases or you've maybe like at a point in business where things are kind of like rebranding, or like, I don't know, you're in like a transitional phase. So this is like very, you know, common experience for people. One, on a very tangible level, I always recommend to clients when they start working with me, when I feel like they need to come back to like their expression, is like, mute people on Instagram, like unfollow people. Even if you love them, like if you love them, maybe just mute them for a few weeks, because it becomes very easy to like, this is what they sound like and they're making sales, so I'm gonna sound like them. On an energetic level, this causes a lot of disharmony, because basically you're taking someone else's energetic transmission and filtering it through your own. And all like it isn't aligned, so people are going to naturally probably go to that teacher, or people are going to be like, this doesn't actually feel like her. So on an energetic level, that happens. On a messaging level, people are probably going to be like, she just sounds like everyone else, right? So that, like, coming back to your tone of how you speak to things, your signature methodology is extremely important. And how, like, the first things that I would do to get really refined in this is, yes, like, unfollow people, cut off the noise, actually have like physical boundaries with yourself if you're feeling like you're consuming a lot more than you're creating. Because this is a huge thing, is where people will consume, be like lurking at what everyone else is doing, and then they lose total trust in themselves and their channel and the work that's meant to come through them. You know, just because what's popular right now is like nervous system work, is that actually what you're meant to be talking about? Is that actually like authentic to you? Like, maybe not. And that's okay. Just because things are trendy or buzzy doesn't mean that it dilutes your work. So one is, I think, really, yeah, cutting out the noise. I think second step would be clarifying, like, what are your gifts? And that obviously can take a little bit of a process. It's not like as simple as like writing out a list and being like, okay, what are they?
Found all my gifts. All right, here we go.
I found them all, like they're here. So it does take a process refining that. And like, for me, that took a, you know, number of years, but I don't want that to discourage people, because that is part of the process. That is part of running a business. It's not even trial and error, because it's not an error. It's like, oh, this was a guiding post to teach me that actually I'm really good at this part. So I think it's like what comes naturally to you. If you want to use resources like human design or astrology or like anything in that realm, those can always be like great highlight pieces for like kind of showing you what like your individual design is. Mm-hmm. Those pieces can help. And two, I think the biggest piece of like what sets you apart from everyone is really looking at what's your signature methodology. What's your process of, you know, say I was a relationship coach. What's my process of how I support people? So that might be nervous system work. That might be, I don't know, like self-pleasure and like really like feminine, like womb healing. Another aspect of that might be like conscious communication and like nonviolent communication skills. I always like to think of like signature methodologies as like, usually they have like 4 to 5 components in them. And that's like your like special signature of how you support your clients from going to like A to B. And then the other piece, I think the biggest piece, is like self-expression work, which I always tell people is like, on the front end, I teach people how to do marketing, but really what it's about is like sacred expression work. So you like, because there's so many things that come up with, you know, business and visibility wounds and being seen in your craft. And so much of that has to do with self-expression work and confidence and like deconditioning of who you think you need to be. And it also comes within business, where it's like, who do you think you need to be successful versus like, who just are you? Like, who are you? Going back to your point previously, where it's like, people want a relatable human. People want to like connect with someone. It creates trust. It creates relatability. It's like, oh, there's a person behind this. And like, I like the vibe, especially if you're wanting to invest in someone. You know, anytime that I've like invested in a high-end offer, I'm like, would I want to go out for dinner with this person? Or would I invite them over to like a very intimate dinner party of mine? If not, I probably don't want to be in like a 4 month or 5 month long can like program with them. Like, I want to know this person is a vibe check. So don't be afraid to like really show off those pieces of yourself. You know, I think, you know, one of the things is like, for me, for an example of something that I thought was actually like not great to show at the start of my business was like how playful I was, or kind of like play really big value of mine. I was like, people are going to think I'm unprofessional. People are going to think like I'm too like young, or people are just like not going to take me seriously. And then once I started leaning into it, like maybe not as like the like driving factor, but like adding these doses of like, this is part of my personality, people were like, I love this. People made a connection, right? And which can lead to, I think this was like a funny example. I think, you know, one of my clients, she started speaking with me like a year and a half ago, and she wasn't a client at that time, but I think I was sharing about my love for books and like non-business related whatsoever. And we kept on having sometimes conversations and DMs about books, and which then eventually led to her being like a repeat buyer of like every single group program that I've ever done. And, you know, I often think of like, that was her entry point into leaning into working, showing those pieces of your personality so you do stand out. Because there's lots of relationship coaches, there's lots of marketing coaches, there's lots of feminine leadership coaches, but there's also a connection like on a soul resonance of like, well, what is that sacred expression of like why they resonate with you? So I think those are some probably like tangible pieces of like what I would start off with. Obviously it's like a big topic, but I think those are like the primary pieces I would work with.
So many things like arise. Like, okay, the first thing from what you were saying was that the humanness, right? I noticed as well, like if someone only showed like their good side and I could tell it felt really curated, I actually ironically lack trust, right? Although they probably thought like I'm being polished, right? I'm being careful about what I share. But it kind of, it doesn't highlight the like their human experiences. I think that again makes someone less relatable versus when someone does share parts of their life. And I can like what you were saying is so true, because I followed you and all the time that you'd share more about your life when traveling, when being out, your stuffed animals, all that stuff, it created like a genuine picture. Like you're like, this is like a human, like you really feel that connection, like a deeper trust. Like, yes, this is what they do, or these are their offerings, but it's like, like you're saying, like, I would want to hang out with this person. I would trust this person as like a whole human being rather than this like persona of this like coach that they've put on and this like dynamic. It's almost how, like, you know, people say you go to a doctor and they already view you as a patient, which is like already just makes this dynamic really kind of, like, I don't know, vulnerable and just not like equal in a way. I think that the same thing happens with coaching. When someone puts someone on this pedestal and like, it's like, it creates a weird distortion. But when you view someone as another human who just has other value or other gifts that you don't have, like you realize like, oh, I'm great at this, but this person's great at marketing, for example. So you view them as another whole being who just specializes in something. Like, for example, when we, I don't know, for me, one of my friends is like a hairstylist. And so I'm like, I view her as a whole human being, which she's this amazing talent of being like a really great, amazing hairstylist, right? So it's like a very equal relationship where like this person has a gift, or like, when my clients come to me, they might have gifts about things that I know nothing about, but then I'm really great in like my specialty. So I think that that creates that trust. And the second thing you said about being like, who, instead of thinking about who do I need to be successful, why don't I trust that like I, as myself, if I just inherently share myself, will be, because there's a million now people, again, it's beautiful, but who all kind of look and sound the same. And so ironically, the more like real you are, you know what, it kind of reminds me of this. I really noticed, this is random, but on YouTube, the people who like honestly just like vlog on their iPhone and make the most just like mundane, chill videos do really well, because people are missing that. I think now there's such an overproduction. I get it, the 4K, the drone. So people, when they just see someone like real with an iPhone, or like, finally, like something just like really just like chill. People love that. I think that's also why people love podcasts, like sit down, just like talking podcasts, because it removes this overproduction and instead kind of really focuses on just like the dynamic of like hanging out with friends, of being around someone you trust, and it feeling very real. And that kind of also leads me into sharing your life. I think I really had this fear. So when I started doing poll for fun, I was like, I cannot share this. I'm like, my clients are gonna think I'm like, I've lost it. Like, how can I post these videos? But I was like, but I love it. And I was like, how? I'm like, why? I'm like, if I love something, shouldn't I share it? And it was still like this, like, totter back and forth always. But then ironically, it like opened up so many doors because it really opened up my like deep passion for sensuality and for helping women with that. And for like now built, I've been sharing with this so consistently, but now I'm like going to start doing like more in-person things. So it's like actually sharing parts of you that are really you helps you connect with other people who like they have that gem in them too, but they might be like scared to like unlock it, right? Whatever, whether it's playfulness and they see you and they're like, oh, I really want to unlock playfulness, or sensuality and like I really want to unlock that. So it's like when you highlight the things that like you love that are your gifts, you also give an opportunity to like really create resonance with someone who those are the very same values that they have. So for you, travel or play, someone else might be like, oh my god, those are like my dream values in life. Like I want to be able to be in a playful energy and travel and create. So like these factors that we might think like, oh, these are unnecessary to share in my business, like it's, are like the exact factors that someone might pick your service or your business over someone else's because they see that like your core values align. So it's like, you might think this is a weird value to have, or this is weird to highlight, but ironically, because so many people think might think the same thing, like someone else would be like, I shouldn't show this playful side, I shouldn't show the sensual side. So actually, like, it kind of gives you, like, the spotlight in a way, because for all the other people who didn't highlight that, because you highlight that, and now these people are like, wow, like, finally, there's been, like, someone who, like, who's wanted to do this. And I have a really funny story that kind of illustrates this. I was going to a farmer's market, and there was a woman there who's this older woman in her 60s who's a baker, a French baker. And I like bought a pastry and she's like, what's your Instagram? And I literally was like, I don't want to show her my Instagram because she's going to see my poll videos and she's going to think it's so weird. But then I was like, okay, whatever. I gave her my Instagram and she's like, oh my gosh, it's been my dream my whole life to pole dance. And I've just never had the confidence. I told her, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a studio I go to, you should try. And right before her next birthday, which is the following week, she was going to go take her first pole class. And that just illustrated to me like a lesson from life of like the thing that you think is like, oh, like I don't know, like I want to think I'm like weird and I didn't want to share it, was like the exact like literal sign that this person needed to do this thing that they wanted to do their whole life. And that was just like a big just lesson for me just in like online as well. Like you might literally spark the thing that's been lying dormant that no one else has given the permission slip to do by highlighting that about yourself.
Yes. Oh, it's such a beautiful story and like such a testimonial to like our expression is so healing for others in so many ways that sometimes we don't even know. Like I have people sometimes all the time just be like, I love the way that you express yourself, I like just like adore you as a human being, or like this is how it's helped me, and it has nothing sometimes to do with my business. Like you said, it's like the playful, or like me traveling, or like I don't know, like my like stuffed animals or like books. And it's just like, it's like a permission slip of like, yeah, like you can just be you, especially when it comes to success. Cause there can be so many ideas of like, now I need to show up like this so I can be successful. And it's very like old paradigm, like very stuffy, like kind of corporate world where we're stuck in an era where it's like, you can literally be paid to be you and paid for your gifts. And like what's more healing and what's more beautiful than just like allowing yourself to be yourself? And like you said, I feel like I've experienced that too, especially in the past 2 years, where I'm like, I don't want to, you know, invest in people that are just like so perfect and polished and curated. Like I like the realness. And it doesn't mean you need to be like sharing like a diary entries on your Instagram social media. Like that doesn't mean that's authenticity. Like you find your own middle ground of what authenticity means to you. Cause again, it's like, what is your expression? What's your relationship with the online world? And that's going to differ for everyone.
Yeah. I think that's just, it's like such like a full circle moment. It's like, I always think of telling my clients, like, you don't have to post yourself having a mental breakdown, but you can share when you're at your favorite restaurant, or you like bought something that you love, or like hobbies that you do on the side that like might again ignite that. So it doesn't have to be this, I think we as humans like love to go to the extremes of things. Of like you were saying, like, oh, I need to plan content. Like that means I can never express myself or share any of my ideas. It's like, no, it's just like a structure, and you can change it. Or like, oh my gosh, be authentic. So should I share all my innermost intrusive thoughts? It's like, no, just share like little bits and pieces. Share your like drink coffee order that you get. Like it can start really small, but I just think that one of the biggest kind of full circle lessons that we talked about is that being you has so much more power than over perfecting or over polishing or trying to mimic something you've seen. Like trusting that what you have to offer in your own essence is so powerful in itself, because there is no one like, again, it's such a cliche, but there's no one like you, you know. And the more that you trust that and let yourself share your ideas, share your thoughts, and share your passions, it's actually gonna make your business easier, because people are going to come to you who are way more aligned, who are coming to you for you, not the image you sold them, right? That like not like you attract. I've noticed that more authentic I am, the clients I attract are way more connected. We have more in common. It feels so much more like, it's like almost in like dating, you're just attracting better partners, like more aligned, more on the same wavelength, same, like things just flow. There's like no clashing. It's like everything just aligns. Versus when you're kind of like really trying to uphold a specific, I feel like, image.
Yeah, completely. There's so much more trust. There's so much more like strength in your relationship. It's like you said, it's like I've taken on clients where I'm like, I am actually not like quite the right fit. And it always ends up being more difficult. It always ends up being in something where like something feels off versus the ones that I'm like, I would want to hang out with you. I like love you. Like I appreciate you. Like we click and like there's just like a connection there.
For sure. Well, we've already talked for over an hour, and I knew we have a lot to talk about, because I feel like this space is just like endless, and every little topic has like a million subtopics that you could go in. But I feel like we covered so much in this like hour and a bit. So thank you, first of all, for making time to come on and to share your expertise. I think it's always really amazing to hear someone speak who's like an expert in a specific area and talk about different experiences. I really wanted this episode to be like very tangible. Like we were talking about things that you can really start thinking about today, changes you can start making about making today that you'll start seeing results. So thank you again for coming on. Thank you for showing up. How can people find you? How can people work with you? And do you have anything coming up that you'd like to share?
Yeah, so I think the best probably place to hang out is definitely Instagram, which is just I am Allison Canales. Yeah, I have a few different ways to work with me. I have an upcoming bundle probably by mid-June coming out. It's called Sacred Socials, and there's like seven actual very tangible, like 10 to 15 minute trainings on different topics, like how to communicate an intangible offer into like clearly communicating that, like a lot of the things that we went into. And then in that bundle, there's also like seven like spiritual practices, like how to clear like the energy from your Instagram, and like things like that. It's really like it's going to be a really low investment for people that are just like needing like foundational things. It's going to be around $37. And then I always do like I have my one-on-one space. And then if you're wanting to go like really deep into like all of the facets of marketing, like content creation, messaging, sales, my signature program is gonna be coming out and getting on the wait list for that, which is called Metamorphosis Marketing. It really talks about like marketing, but like the evolutionary age that we're coming into of like how marketing is evolving. So for people that are visionary, like visionary people, creatives, or like spiritual entrepreneurs, it'll be very up their alley to be in any of those containers.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you. Definitely. I feel like that all of those sound really great. I love that you have different offerings at different points, whether you're just diving in and just starting to shift things, or you're already been running your business and you're ready to dive deep. Those sound amazing. So definitely check all those out. I'll have those linked in the keynotes. Thank you again for coming on. If there's any final things you want to say, please feel free.
Yeah, I just want to thank you for just like holding such a beautiful space and yeah, bringing all of your wisdom into this conversation as well. This is so much fun. And yeah, I'm really hoping if anything landed for anyone or anyone has any more questions, you can always reach out on Instagram. I love answering questions about messaging and content pieces. Like nothing gives me more joy.
Yeah, definitely reach out to Allison to answer your questions. I'm the same. When I see like, and it's like someone asks you a question about the things that you love, like I like am really big into supplements. Like I like can't don't even get me started. Someone's like, "Do you know anything that's good for?" I'm like, "Good for what? Good for what?" Like, let me give you 12 recommendations. So definitely reach out. I'll have your Instagram link down below. I'll have to have you back on maybe in the future about like focusing on one of the things, maybe branding, maybe messaging. We can kind of see. Let us know. Feel free to message me as well what your favorite part of the podcast was, and if there is a specific topic that you want us to dive much deeper into, I think that'd be a really, really amazing episode. Otherwise, thank you, Allison, for coming on. Thank you for sharing your wisdom, your experience on here. I hope you guys have a beautiful rest of your day or night when you're listening to this, and I will see you guys next week on Unlimited Abundance.